This podcast is sponsored by London Welsh Developments. London Welsh Developments offer the entire range of services for all your home needs, from plumbing, electrical, joinery, and building and maintenance. Their many years of experience building all forms of extensions and conversions, the odd new build, and some bespoke garden rooms and home offices, you will clearly see the attention to detail and an understanding of your home that is difficult to match. They really do care and want the best for your home with no stone left unturned. For more information, contact London Welsh Developments on 0208 335 9123 or email on info@lwdltd.co.uk, London Welsh Developments. Welcome to London Welsh Rugby Club Podcast. This is episode 33 and it's our Christmas special. The interviews were recorded pre the Prime Minister's announcement that London was going to Tier 4. We hear from two of our club legends for the first time in this Christmas special episode. This is a taster for what hopefully will be a more in-depth conversation with both John Taylor and Ted Wynn next year. But we hear how they're both doing during the strange season, how they have kept in touch with the club, and how they'll spend their Christmas. In the podcast, we catch up with many of our key personnel from the club, see how they've been doing and how they spend their Christmas. You'll hear from our club chaplain, Paul Hill, who gives a quite unique Christmas message and reiterates that he's there for our club members should you need him at any stage throughout the year. We also hear from Danny, Ruth, Kai and Rhiannon to tell you a bit more about what each section's been doing and to give you a festive message. I would like to wish all our listeners a safe and merry Christmas and a better 2021. Enjoy. Welcome to the pod, Joint Club President, John Taylor. How are you, John?
I'm very, very well indeed, considering. And how several things.
That's good. And how have you been keeping this year, then?
Well, that's the considering bit. I mean, I've been keeping pretty well. I live down in the country now, in deepest Kent. And through the summer, we had a really good summer. I've got a couple of big dogs and got a bit of golf in. So it wasn't too onerous, really. I mean, it was quite a pleasant summer. And Tricia, my wife, and I didn't beat each other up. So triumph.
That's good news. Glad to hear that. Now, you had a mini milestone birthday in July. Did you manage to get to celebrate it?
Not really. I mean, we were sort of obeying obediently because the mini milestone is 75, which makes one old and vulnerable, according to the stats. So we were obviously, being as good as we possibly could and have continued to be. But there were several things in the pipeline to help celebrate. One, I was meant to be doing a series of lunches and dinners around the country. And of course, all that got cancelled as well. But fortunately, I'm 75 still for about another 10 months. So maybe that will all happen next spring and summer instead.
There's plenty of time to celebrate. So, but I'm sure you're a man who sort of sits idly. So I imagine you've kept yourself busy throughout this year doing different projects. Can you elaborate on some of that for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, it has been a bit of a blow work-wise because these days I tend to do more sort of speaking and things like that than actual radio and TV broadcasting regularly. And a lot of those things were cancelled. But I've also been turning my hand more and more towards film production and have been involved in several really interesting projects there. Some still in the pipeline and some have made. I mean, we made a film called Stop the Tour, because just about now actually is 50 years since the 1969-70 tour of the Springboks to Great Britain, where I refused to play. Having been on the 68 Lions tour, I decided that there was no way that any of the sort of rugby mantras of we're not supporting apartheid, we're building bridges, all that nonsense was a complete nonsense, I decided, and felt I couldn't actually in any sort of conscience have anything more to do with South Africa. So we made a film about that 50 years on, In fact, two films. One I did with Peter Hain, looking at it, obviously, from that point of view over here. But I also went back to South Africa with Gareth Edwards. It was a thing that came out on BBC Wales, and took Gareth into some of the townships I'm still involved in outside Port Elizabeth, where I've done some support work in to keep their sort of rugby and coaching and things going. And that was fascinating too, because, you know, Gareth amazingly is still an absolute hero, of course, as well with the, should we say, the people he wasn't allowed to play against in those days. And for him, take him back and for him to meet some of those guys and do something of a reappraisal was a fascinating project.
It's a very, very moving film for, you know, for any of our listeners who haven't seen that, the BBC Wales version. It probably is on iPlayer. Take a look at it. It's really well worth watching. For someone like myself who wasn't born at the time, I certainly learned a lot, and learned a lot about you, John, as well. So how have you been keeping up to date with some of the club developments then? Have you been sort of listening to all the newsletters?
I'm an avid follower of the newsletter, the podcast and everything. And I think it's terrific the way that everybody has rallied round and done their utmost to keep things going. I mean, I think it's inspirational. I really do. And it's been a sort of terrific journey. And then we got the lovely sort of oddities in the podcast as well, like Greg Sherwood, Master of Wine, I discovered that we had in our midst, which I didn't know. And as I said to Greg, I actually called him and ordered a case of wine. One of the great things about moving down to the country was I've got the lodge to a rather grand house, but the lodge includes the wine cellar. So I felt duty bound before him, this was 30 years ago, to actually make sure that the wine cellar was stocked. And so I've become not an expert by any means, but quite fond of exploring wines and buying for laying down and keeping and so forth. So I've made a few errors along the way that probably weren't worthwhile, but discovered some lovely wines too. And the great thing is you tend to sort of just probably spend a bit more on wine than you would normally if you went into the supermarket. But for an extra £3 or £4 a bottle, you can actually probably drink wine that's worth £10 more a bottle.
No, definitely. No, I spoke with Greg, actually. He loved having the conversation with you, and maybe, you know, we can work out on something together, maybe between yourself and Greg, for a future case, maybe to celebrate, you know, maybe the 50th anniversary of the Lions or something. We'll work on that. But look, it's getting to Christmas. So how will you be spending Christmas this year, John?
Absolutely self-isolating. We are in Tier 3, the whole of Kent. And with the vaccine on the horizon, it seemed crazy, really, to do anything else. I have to say I'm confused by the government's guidelines and so forth. I cannot see the sense in allowing a five-day break in all the restrictions that have been put in place. And I'd rather be looking forward to a couple of months' time when we can break out of it completely. But hopefully, I mean, I still don't know when, but they're doing the over 80s at the moment. So the over 70s come next. And with a bit of luck, we shall have a vaccine. I shall actually be vaccinated perhaps before the end of February.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed for you, John.
Christmas a bit on hold this year.
No, I understand that. I think I'm with you really on the government, but I don't want to make this a political podcast. If you know.
No, exactly.
So 2021 is a massive year for Lions, right? Obviously, the Lions of 71 in particular, it's the 50-year anniversary. So I know you're in touch with our Lions of 71. How are they?
I guess we're talking sort of mixed fortunes. Of course, we are all getting pretty old. But we lost Merv, of course, several years ago now. I mean, which was tragically too young. JPR, Gerald, myself, Jeff Evans are all pretty fit and okay. John Dawes, our captain, of course, and my co-president. John's not so well. I mean, John's had some problems for the past few years, as I'm sure most of the club know, with sort of some dementia, but he's still pretty good. But he had a stroke about 2 months ago and has recovered well from that. But because of that, he's in hospital. He's in Llandoch, you know, down near Penarth. And obviously, it's a difficult situation because he needs attention and care. But I mean, he's, to say that, I don't want to paint too black a picture, because he's his old self in bits. And we're doing Zoom calls, a group of us. Gareth Edwards, funnily enough, has joined in quite a lot, because Gar's very fond of John as well. Jeff, Martin Ryan, and I have all had Zoom calls with him for the last couple of Saturdays, and we'll be doing it again. And I know a lot of the other guys from the era have been sort of sending messages and phone calls and so forth. And it depends when you get him. Sometimes he's a bit tired and dozy, but sometimes he'll be his old self for 5 or 10 minutes, and you sort of think, oh, he's, you know, there's sort of quite a lot of life in the old boy yet. And there is. So let's, as I say, be grateful for what we have got. I'll be talking to him on Saturday. And, you know, he's recovering, and hopefully we'll eventually be able to come back home, but we're not absolutely sure on that. The other one, of course, is Mike Roberts. Robbo also had a stroke back in March, but he's recovered very well from that. In fact, I was talking to him yesterday, and he was in very good form. He's playing golf again, still having a little bit of therapy, but otherwise pretty good. So that's where we all are. That's the seven.
I tell you what, I'm so glad to hear that. And it's so heartwarming to hear that you all keep in touch still, you know, via Zoom calls. And, you know, and we obviously all send our best wishes to John, to hope he recovers well, because our listeners will have been really pleased to hear that feedback from you, John.
Well, I'll make sure that I relay that on...
Are there any plans to celebrate the 50th anniversary, John?
There were, again, lots of conversations about what we might do, but they've really all come to an absolute juddering halt because of the pandemic. So we don't know, is the answer, about actually getting together for any sort of celebration, dinner, or whatever. But we have had several in the past, so you can bet your life that the moment that we're given some sort of hope that they might be able to take place, that we shall be on to that. There are other plans, though, to celebrate. I mean, one of the other projects that has been making me busy is the work again on a film which basically wants to celebrate, obviously, the 50th anniversary, but the idea is to sort of contrast Lions Tours back in 1971 with Lions Tour in 2021. I mean, they are very, very different animals, very, very, I mean, almost unrecognizable in so many ways. And at the moment, one of the ideas is to get Sam Warburton, who, of course, captained the last Lions, involved. and that we will actually look forward and look back, as it were.
Yeah, and that sounds very interesting. It'd be great if we could somehow get all the remaining 71 Lions back at our club for some sort of event, but I appreciate that, you know, yeah, with the pandemic, it's hard to plan.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're hoping very much to do that, because one of the things that was made in 71 and never really got the airing it should have done, it was a documentary made by HTV. And the BBC had all the rights, but HTV took a punt and sent a film crew out right from the start. And they made a very good, insightful documentary. And there is a, we've located digitalized copies of it that are still in the archive. And we, in fact, had started the process of trying to get hold of it, and we know how to do that now. There's no problem. We can get a copy of that from the archive in Aberystwyth, and we're going to show that at the club at some stage. As I say, things had to really sort of be stopped in their tracks because of the pandemic. But the moment we've got the go ahead, one of the things we will very definitely is get all the Lions that we can, and we will show that film and have a bit of a bit of fun around it.
No, that's great to hear. Look, I'm looking forward to next year already with some of the, those things you're working on. So just to wrap up, John, so what are your wishes for London Welsh and its members for 2021?
The last 3 years or so have been an absolute revelation at London Welsh. It's been fantastic. And we get the progress of the three promotions in 3 years. That's the yardstick, but it's not the total way of evaluating it. It's been something much more. I mean, the clubmanship, the camaraderie, the whole business of London Welsh Rugby Club being the mecca for Welshmen in London, the sporting, social, cultural mecca, really, has been terrific. And it's stronger now than it probably was in the previous decade before we actually went back to being completely and utterly amateur. So, I mean, my wish is that we continue on that journey. I think it's a unique journey. And I mean, just at this time when they're talking about sort of reorganizing the structure of community rugby, it's something I think that sort of, in a way, we've already done, because we've reset our goals and our sights in a way that I think a lot of other clubs are going to have to do. And my goal, I'd love us to get promotion again. I think we do really want to be up in the sort of national divisions. Once we're there, good rugby, good fellowship, and fantastic London Welsh camaraderie. And it's just been so strong in the last few years. I think it's really something that we ought to give ourselves a little clap on the back for, because it's been absolutely terrific, and I just wish therefore for really more of the same.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, John. Look, you know, when we've not had something for so long, as in the last sort of 9 or 10 months, you really miss something as basic as just going to watch a game of rugby at London Welsh, seeing your friends, seeing some characters, having a couple of drinks. It's as simple as that, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you know, and in the wider context, the health, the vibrancy at London Welsh is a beacon in itself.
Good stuff. Look, John, have a safe Christmas. We look forward to seeing you in 2021, fully vaccinated and back at Old Deer Park with your Lions of 71 in great health. See you soon, John. Thank you.
Right, Gareth, thank you. And to everybody at London Welsh, Nadolig Llawen y Blwyddyn Newydd A.
Everybody, this is the man we've been waiting for. It is Terwyn Williams, life member of London Welsh RFC. Terwyn, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well indeed.
Well, it's great to see you. And I know I've seen a bit of you this year, but how have you been this year, Terwyn?
It's been a very, very difficult year for everybody, including myself, being sort of isolated, spending a lot of time at home, and of course, missing all my friends at London Welsh, at the club. It's been quite difficult, and I'm really looking forward to things being back to normal. Very much so.
Yes, I think we all agree with that, Terwyn. And how's Mrs. Williams, Mared Williams, how is your wife?
She's coping very well. She looks after me well here. And, you know, we do our little walks together almost daily, just to keep us fit and active. And but yes, yeah, she's very well, considering the circumstances.
Well, while you're talking about walking, Terwyn, I have seen you walking around ODP a lot since March, and you certainly you're a bit lighter now, aren't you, from that experience? Because you're a different person, really. For people who haven't seen you, can you just explain how it started in March and sort of and the sort of distances you're walking now?
Well, you see, I was told, you know, to stay in. Letters, you know, from the health service and so on, because I'd had this cancer operation a couple of years back, and I had another operation last year, in fact, this time. And I was isolated at home. You know, I would say, all right, I think I'll go out for a paper, and my wife was saying, no, you can't, you know, you've got to isolate yourself. So one morning we set off for Old Deer Park very early, and the place was isolated. We parked there, and we just walked around the pitch. And she's got one of these Fitbit things, you know, that records the distances and so on. And she said, very good, you know, one lap up to the golf course and all around is about 0.8 of a mile. And that was all I managed to do. So we both really enjoyed it, just being out in the fresh air and being isolated, you know. So then we followed that up with the next time we did two laps. And gradually, I ended up, you know, after about a month, I was doing about 3 miles, 3.5 miles. But the big target for me was 5 miles, because growing up in Llanabadda, going to Lampeter School, 5 miles was the distance. And the number of times I missed the last bus home and I had to walk, it brought that back to me. You know, it was a 5 mile journey, and here I am down London Welsh and I'm walking 5 miles. It reminded me of those times. And, you know, it ended up, I think I ended up doing about 8 miles with Nigel Rees one morning. And, but now generally we try and do 4 or 5 miles, you know, certainly a few times every week. Yes.
And if I'm right in thinking, you told me you've lost 3 stone doing this as well, which is remarkable, isn't it?
Well, yes, because I had to go in for a pneumonia injection, and the nurse in there, you know, had all my details on the computer, and she did all the tests, and then she said, step on the scales. So I stepped on the scale, and she said, step off it. And she got up out of her chair, picked up the scales, shook them, put them back down, and she said, right, get back on them. And which I did, and she said, goodness me, she said, according to our records, you've lost 3 stones, which pleased me no end.
Yes. It's great to hear that you're looking after yourself, and you know, you can't beat a bit of fresh air, especially around London Welsh and ODP. I suppose when you walk around the pitch and the clubhouse, there must be an opportunity for you to reminisce about great times, and hopefully just to, you know, wish about some amazing future occasions we might have in the future, isn't it?
Oh, goodness, yes, yes, yes. It brought back huge memories, you know, to walk around, first of all, the Bowls Club, you know, you're on the path there, and the evenings, the nights we've spent in there, the days we've had in there. You know, we've had such busy days there on occasions. I remember teams having to change there for matches, and also Having to eat there after matches because of the vast crowds at London Welsh, you know, quite incredible, quite incredible.
Naturally.
And of course, all the matches over the years and the people involved, you know, it's been such a great, great journey. Wonderful. And
with hopefully a few more journeys to come for all of us at the club. I think times like this has made you realise what you really value, hasn't it, really? And I think you think about, you know, did we maybe taken for granted the fact that we can go and watch London Welsh every Saturday, home or away, have a couple of drinks, meet all our, our London Welsh community of family and friends. And when that's taken away, it's a big gap in your life, isn't it?
Massive, massive, massive gap. You know, we are a small, tight-knit Welsh community. You know, I've always said, you know, that I left a small community in Wales and I came to a small community in West London, you know, and it's been marvellous over the years. The number of people I've met, I've made such good friends, you know, all over the country, you know, as people have sort of moved on and so on, you know. Even today, about half an hour before speaking to you, I had a phone call from Llanelli, John Davis, ex-campion teacher who played scrum half for London Welsh. And in fact, he was in one of the pictures, you know, being sort of introduced to Prince Charles at the opening of the clubhouse and so on. You know, and he just rang me half an hour ago, you know. Wonderful, wonderful.
That's amazing. It's amazing, actually, tell me, because yeah, you know you're very well liked at London Welsh. And in fact, you know, you're the individual I've had most requests for to appear on this podcast. Now, I know you've been enjoying them because you've told me, but which episodes in particular have you enjoyed listening to?
Oh, Pete Lowe did pretty well. Fair play.
but I suppose the expectations...
I have to say that because he's standing behind me.
No, but I suppose with that one, the expectations were quite low, weren't they? And so you sort of over-delivered on that, didn't he?
No, but you know, there was so much in common there, you know, that I'd sort of encountered. But I did enjoy very much Justin Burnell, because I just loved having him in London. He was a wonderful man. And of course, one of my biggest favourites over the years, Roland Phillips. What a character, what a personality. Because I knew him, you see, I was the kit man when he was playing, you know, under Clive Griffiths there.
Yeah.
And we did have a few sessions. And of course, he ended up coming back and coaching, you know. So it was wonderful to hear him as well. No, they were really, really good.
Okay.
Yes.
Even if it's just you listening, Terwin, right? I know it's not, but it means a lot to me that, you know, people enjoy it so much. And for myself, I get to, you know, sort of relearn the history of London Welsh from different people and what it means to them, what the club actually means. And it means a lot to those people, doesn't it?
Yes. Oh, yes, most certainly it does. The other one that I really, really enjoyed was Kelvin Bryan. He really, really filled in a lot of blanks that, you know, that I'd often wondered about. And I thought he was excellent, you know, when you're considering he's had a pretty, pretty tough year, you know. I really, really enjoyed listening to Kelvin, you know.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying them. Look, I think, you know, we are definitely, when we can meet in person in a John Dawes room, we're probably going to record a couple of episodes with Terwin, maybe not in one sitting, but there'll be a London Welsh one and a Welsh Exiles one. Be face to face when Jones meets Terwin. So it'd be a special. But we're recording the Christmas special now, and we're going to speak to a number of different individuals across the podcast, so our listeners can hear from everyone. And I'm sure they're chuffed a bit that you're on this. And you did mention Pete helped you massively in terms of his IT ability to get this done. But what does Christmas mean to you, Terwin? And how will you spend it this year?
Oh, it's a special time of year. All it has been, you know, I've been a school teacher all my life up until retiring 15 years ago. And, you know, in a school year, it was always such a big and important event for every child that I've ever taught. You know, with your Christmas carols and church services and so on, because I always, well, apart from about 15 years, I always taught in church schools. So it's always been special, you know. And for me, it's always been a time for family gathering. And I thoroughly enjoy it, and I'm looking forward even to this Christmas. It will be difficult. You know, I have a brother who's 10 years older than me. He's over 80, but I'm really hoping that he will be able to come and join us for Christmas Day this year, you know. It is a special occasion, you know, and it's been wonderful.
No, well, fingers crossed that can happen for you, Terwin. You deserve that, certainly. And also, Terwin, you've got a reading for us, haven't you, you've prepared for our listeners, because usually at the Christmas lunch, you'll say a few words. And so you have, if you want to give your reading now so people can hear what
yes,
you have
it's,
to say.
Yes, it's Dylan Thomas's. It's a little reading from Dylan Thomas. I've always been interested in him because the chairman of the Dylan Thomas Society in South Wales for many years was, and I think he still is a boy called Jeff Towns. Jeff Towns is from the East End of London. And I met him in 1970 when he became a first-year student like myself, sharing a house, straddling three, at King Coed in Cardiff. And then it was called Cardiff College of Education. And in the third year, my final year of the school, in fact, we shared a house. There were five of us boys in a house in Maindy. And he ended up, and he's got a bookshop in Swansea. And of course, he's very, very, very involved with Dylan Thomas. So I always look for Dylan Thomas's work. So I'll just read this. Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Old age, rage against the dying of the light. The wise men at their end know dark is right. Because their words had forked no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. Good men, the last wave by, crying how bright their frail deeds might have danced in a green bay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Wild men who caught and sang the sun in flight and learn too late, they grieved it on its way. Do not go gentle into that good night. Grave men near death who see with blinding sight, blind eyes could blaze like meteors and be gay. Rage, rage against the dying of the lights. And you, my father, there on the sad heights, curse, bless me now with your fierce tears, I pray. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
Well, thank you very much, Terwin. Look, Terwin, it's great seeing you today. That isn't speaking to you. You look well. Stay well and healthy over Christmas. We'll arrange that podcast interview for next year, okay? So Merry Christmas, Nadolig Llawen, and see you soon.
And to you, Gareth, and to your family. And I saw them last Sunday. They were down the rugby club all playing down there. Last Saturday, I should say, they were down there. Wonderful. So Merry Christmas to you too. Nadolig Llawen.
Thank you. Welcome to the podcast, our club chaplain, Reverend Paul Hill. How are you, Paul?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you, Gareth. Even better, just spoken with the doctor and things are going in the right direction and I didn't need to have my eye injected on Wednesday. And despite the failure of the laser in August, they're going to give me an extra special blitzing in February. So hopefully no more eye injections. So that's a happy Christmas present.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So how have you been this year? Obviously, you talk about yourself and your health. But what about, you know, your role with the church? You know, what sort of year have you had?
Well, as everybody will know, the church has been closed in terms of a building, but certainly in terms of the church as the body of Christ, as we call it, it has been in overdrive. There are people logging on to Zoom services and Facebook services and all sorts of things in greater number than you actually get to church normally. I've had the pleasure of preaching in person just a few times this year, but I've done a lot of Zoom preaching, and it's a different dynamic. And there are lots of people tuning in that wouldn't normally, and then they come and bring their questions, or they tell you about their needs and so on. And we had a community lunch running, which we've had running now for about 18 months, 2 years before lockdown. And we had about 80 people coming on a regular basis. And I did the cabaret piano stuff in the background. That was my main task for that. But we've kept in touch with them, and each of us have got a little group that we phone up. Most of them not to do with the church at all. They come to the lunch, they love it, like to know we're there, and they appreciate the calls. But this last week or so, we've been delivering Christmas hampers to, we've had 75 produced, with a lot of the fair Christmas puddings and Christmas cakes and things made by the ladies of the church. So we're looking after each other, but the needs go far and wide, and we're there. And the people in general in this land, in the UK, don't realise that the church collectively, irrespective of denomination or style, the church collectively is the biggest NGO in the country. And likewise, in the world, collectively, it is the biggest NGO. And some of the guys at the club and the girls, they know that I've been involved in that abroad as well, Haiti, East Africa, and a lot of other places that I've not necessarily mentioned. But it's been busy, really busy. And it's been good.
No, good. And have people from our club, because you are our club chaplain, have they reached out to you in any way across the last 10 months?
It's been a good time of contact with some. I am aware that, you know, sometimes people say, oh, you know, there's somebody struggling at the club. And I say, well, tell them to get in touch with me, but they don't necessarily do that. So I'm aware that there are some, you know, in policing terms, who'd have said, hard to reach groups, but I think there are some hard to reach members, because no matter how macho you are, you can be lonely. You can feel, I have got to deal with this, pull yourself together, Hill, or whatever. And I remember as my first Christmas in London as a PC, it was very pathetic, really. I was on early turn. I didn't have anywhere to go after that, because that's the way it was, single men in a section house in central London. My parents had sent me some money to buy a book, and I bought that book and wrapped it up myself, so I had something to open on Christmas Day. And it all sounds very pathetic. They are, oh, poor old soul. But it was lonely, and I don't care who you are, you can be lonely. And I'm here for that. I'm here for others. I'm here for anything. But a lot of it's been good, but also there was a very poignant moment for a lot of us. We are aware that we've lost some lovely people from the club and from the London Welsh family this year, like Pat Bryan and, of course, Nick Smith. I took his funeral. I had that privilege. I'd like to say it was a pleasure, but they never are. But it was a privilege and an opportunity to serve his family and the club to some extent. And there were a number of contacts around that time, with people expressing appreciation. And I think they just appreciated that I was there for them as well. And if I can say that at this point, for those, we're now recording this, what's it, Friday, last night's 10 o'clock news showed a parish priest in the Anglican church and a street pastor, churches on the street up in the north, crying. They'd been on earlier, and they were doing food parcels and the like out on the streets. And there's been a huge fundraiser, not that they did themselves, but people have sent them donations. And £250,000 has come in about the last month, when they had a feature on them on the news then. But these guys were out there in the front, and that they represent all sorts of people. And even in the leafy suburbs, I was aware this morning that in Hayes in Kent, there were food parcels being delivered by the local churches to people that you wouldn't have any idea at all were in financial straits. And we've had COVID-19 bringing about unexpected redundancies, layoffs, furloughs, all sorts of things, Christmas for a lot of people will not be the same. And there will be places around the table this year, sadly, that will not be filled. And I don't care who they are, I don't care who you are as a listener. If you need to get in touch with me, you just want a bit of relief, you want someone to talk to, you want someone to offload, I can't invite you around as I do with people normally to throw the teddy in the corner and give it a kicking. But please don't feel you're alone. Last night's news had an opportunity for some celebrities and some non-celebrities to give a Christmas message in 6 words. I have 2 sets of 6 words, being a Welshman. I'm not going to go for 3, but 2 are enough. The first message I want to give to everybody is, I am here for you all. I am here for you all. And the other 6 words I want to give you is, you are not alone this Christmas. You are not alone this Christmas. You may feel you're alone. You may think you're alone. Remember the true message of Christmas, whether you believe in God or not, and the outpouring of kindness and love for one another is all the more noticeable at Christmas. But sometimes people need to ask for it. They need to just say, I'm hurting, I need help.
Thank you, Paul. So if people want to get in touch with Paul, please get in touch with any of the board members and we can direct your inquiry. So you can speak to Paul or you can email Paul, or we'll address that for you. So usually, I imagine Christmas is quite a busy period for you, Paul. So how would you spend it usually? And this year, what would be different at Christmas for you?
Okay, if before I answer that, if I can just say my contact details are on the club website. They're not on the supporters club website, but they are on the club website. There's an email link there, and there's my home telephone number. If I'm not in, I'll get back to you straight away. Now, as for Christmas, my Christmases are normally very busy, being a clergy person. There have been times 7 or 8 years ago, I spent Christmas morning not in church, but with my brother-in-law, because he phoned up at 6 o'clock in the morning to say his wife had just died. So I said, do you want me to come round? He said, yes. So that's where I spent my presence with him was more important that Christmas than being in church. So I know what grief at Christmas can be like. But equally, with us, it's normally great fun. Great, great fun. And it will be this year to some extent, because although we're not having the same sort of family celebrations over the Christmas period, we are within the rules. We've bubbled with Glyn and Caris, whom a number of you know, and they're coming to spend Christmas with us. And on Christmas Day, Carwin and Reninka and their 2 children are coming for lunch. So it's going to be, we've rearranged the room, we're having the patio doors open and the windows open, so hopefully we'll cope with the weather. We are going to do the full turkey business again. We're also going to enjoy some of Hanford's wines. So thank you for the London Welsh Wine Club.
I'm glad to
and
see
for Greg in particular.
I'm glad to see we've had many customers. So that sounds like a lovely Christmas that you're going to have this year. Look, but do you have a prayer that you can give or read out to our listeners now at this time, and so they can have some sort of comfort over the Christmas period as they listen to this?
I'll gladly do that. I don't have anything written, but I don't need to. God and I talk quite frequently. So let me just have a chat with him about us all. Father God, we do thank you for this wonderful time of year and the message that it really proclaims, no matter what the circumstances of the world are. And our own circumstances are something that you were born into, something you knew. The happy times, the sad times, the difficult times, the painful times. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. And for this Christmas, Lord, I thank you for the family at London Welsh and for all the players, the board, the volunteers, all the members, those who work so hard. Lord, thank you for all the work that's been done to keep us on track during the lockdown and the like. And I pray that each and every one will have a truly happy, healthy and peaceful Christmas. And Lord, if there are problems and if they do need to get in touch, Lord, remind them that I and others are here for them, whatever their needs may be. We may not have all the answers, but so some of us certainly know the one that does, and we know others who may be able to help in practical ways. So I pray that you will bless every single member of London Welsh Rugby Club this Christmas and their families and loved ones. Lord, we pray for safety, and Lord, we pray for comfort for those who will be having those empty spaces around the table, those who will be having those moments of poignancy, thinking how different this Christmas was for last, and the loss of loved ones, the distancing of family and friends. And Lord, we pray for a speedy recovery from this pandemic as soon as possible, so we can get back together as friends and family, and even as a club, and cheer the guys on and the gals, and carry on building from strength to strength. So we ask this now in Jesus' name. And now, may the humility of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the joy of the angels, and the peace of the Christ child be God's gift to you and to your loved ones this Christmas and evermore. Amen. Thank you, Gary.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Have a wonderful Christmas. And we'll hopefully see you at Old Deer Park with a pint in your hand very soon.
Yeah, and we can look forward to the memorial being unveiled in the not too distant future, we hope.
Yes, exactly. All the best. Nadolig Llawen.
And you too. Nadolig Llawen a blwyddyn newydd dda.
Our next guest is Danny Griffiths, chairman of the club. Danny, how are things at the club at the moment and how are you?
Well, from a personal level, Gar, I think I'm the same as everyone else, maybe a little bit fed up with all the lockdowns and stuff that's going on and this virus not going away, but not too bad, muddling through as best we can.
And the club, you know, what sort of shape is the club in? Because the last time we caught up with you, I think, was late summer, and we've had a whole term of some rugby, but not many games happening.
I think from a perspective of what you sort of can just pick up on the grapevine, our club's in a really good position. I think we've been doing a hell of a lot of work in the background, and whilst there's been no rugby and nothing really sort of visible for the supporters except for the odd little ready for rugby tournament or whatever sort of that's been going on, most of the stuff that's been going on in the background is really positive. And I think when we come out of this, we're going to come out of this really strong, and I think in a lot stronger position than most other clubs. And I think our supporters, when they do come back, will see the amount of work that's gone in the background. So I'm feeling really positive across all sections. I just think this is a really negative time for a lot of people in a lot of different ways, but we could have done just to sort of mothball the club and gone to sleep on it, or we could have done what we have done, which is really keep driving to make sure that when we come out of this tunnel, we come out sort of full steam ahead. So I'm feeling quite confident for the future, and it's been keeping me occupied in the sort of COVID crisis. So all really good, actually, Gar.
No, from my own experience, I know you're doing a great job for the club, and looking at, you know, into the future, you know, we are in a good place. And so can you just like to expand a little bit on the sort of things you've been looking at? Because, you know, obviously all our supporters will be reading our newsletters and looking at our website. So I know, you know, I know you're working on upgrading the website, you know, potentially, and there's things like, you know, the grandstand appeal, you know, so what, you know, how are things like that going?
So I think it's all of it. It's from the bottom up, Gar. It starts really at the basic place, which is we're keeping our player base, we're keeping the coaching, the training going. That whole team is still together and working really well. And that, whatever happens, is the most important thing. But to sort of, if you like, to enhance that, you're absolutely right. We've got one of the old hockey players, actually. He's a really talented web developer and also a photographer. And he's been given the job by the club to sort of develop a brand new website. And I'm really excited that that's going to be ready for the next season. And our supporters club and everyone will be able to get the benefit from that, because it will be much more interactive, much more intuitive and easy to use. And of course, alongside that, we're trying to make the best. And I know that the team with ODP, Gwyn, Gar Hawkins, Martin Ryan from the London Welsh side, and the rest of the ODP people, they're doing a hell of a lot at the club as well. We can't dismiss that. I think there's a lot of supporters are going to come back and see the work that's gone on there as well, which is going to be fantastic, the sort of tidying up of the club. And our side, the bit we own at ODP, the stand, we really are ambitious with that stand. fantastic thing when it was put up, absolutely ahead of the game. But I think if we're going to be going into national rugby and we're going to be pushing to play at that level again, we need to have a stand that's going to be fit for the game. And it also needs to be brought into the 21st century and accessibility for people with disabilities, to give our youth and our women more, if you like, private changing facilities within the club, so we can put more games on at once. So that to me is going to be the big driver and the big job that this board can deliver outside of the actual playing and sort of personnel side. So, yeah, really excited for that. And I really hope we can start seeing that come to fruition soon.
Now, fingers crossed. But you sent a message to all the members. I think it was via the newsletter or in a post. If you forgive me for not remembering exactly what it came, but I read it and I thought it was on point, Danny. Can you just sort of reiterate some of the key points you put in that message, please, to our listeners, please?
Well, I think the key message for me, for everyone this Christmas, is to have as good a Christmas as we possibly can under the circumstances. And I think, you know, we'd be underestimating the impact that COVID has had on some of our members. Some of the members, if you like, have sort of managed to get through this fairly unscathed. And I've been fairly fortunate in the sense of, personally, as family, I've not been sort of impacted by it, but we've lost other members of our community. We've seen other members that have been isolated because of this. So the real message out there, beside the do the best we can for Christmas for ourselves, is actually what we can do as a club and a community for each other. And I think we really need to understand that not everyone out there is going to be getting through this okay. Some people, and it may be financially, it may be mentally, are going to be struggling with this through various reasons. And I just think as a club, we're just another pillar of support within the whole community to actually help our members if they need it. And I personally, I mean, I, as I say, I've not been impacted by losing family or having anyone ill with it, but there's been dark times for me because I'm a very gregarious type of guy. I love being at the club. I love being with people and being sort of isolated out in sort of Hayward's Heath now, when I moved out of London without being able to see many people, just getting a few phone calls. And I've had a couple of phone calls from some of our much older members, and they've really been a boost. It's just been great being sort of rung up to see how you are. And I just don't think people understand, as a sort of human pack animal, how much that means to people sometimes. So I think the key for my, if you like, my message is remember we're a community, and actually make use of that. Don't suffer in silence. And that was really the key for me, especially at this time of year, which can sometimes seem the loneliest.
And as a board, you know, we're there for our members, aren't we? So if anyone wants us, they can reach out to any of the board members for a chat anytime they want, can they?
Absolutely. And I mean, that's key. I mean, obviously we put ourselves in these positions for a reason, and that is to be there when people need us. And I think that's members ringing each other or someone that you've not spoke to for a while, but especially the board. We're there for anyone that needs to speak.
No, that's good to hear. So how are you spending your Christmas, Danny, this year?
So my Christmas, my daughter's 26 now, but this will be the first Christmas without her because of COVID. So she lives in Scotland. So me and the wife are going to have a quiet one. We've actually booked a pub, believe it or not. They're doing a proper sort of COVID separated Christmas lunch for the two of us in the pub. It's sort of family only because we're in tier two. But it will be odd because it will be the first one without my daughter. So it's always been a tradition for me that whatever we've done, no matter how old she gets, I do like that sort of Christmas period just to sort of make it special. So yeah, we'll be having a different one. And I'm sure by the end of it, I'm hoping to come out alive after my wife being stuck with me for that many days.
Well, I'm sure Mr. G will be fine. So what's your New Year wish for the club, Danny?
I think my New Year wish for the club, I mean, the first wish, if I had three wishes, a genie in a bottle that said, the first wish I would have for the club is that every single person within the club comes through this crisis, if you like, and out in a much better place the other side. For the club itself, my wish would be that we can manage to do all of the things that are on our plan, which is the website, which is the stand, which is keeping all of our players together within all the sections, to actually be able to come out of this strong in a rugby sense. And I suppose my third wish would be that we actually grow our community, because I think our community is so fantastic. We need to sort of grow wider tentacles, if you like, within the wider Welsh community in London and the UK. And I'd like to see us continue to build on that and to actually grow, so that it's not just our elite few that know the secret of London Welsh that get all these benefits, but we get more people actually absorbing the benefit. And they don't have to be Welsh to enjoy it. It's a fantastic thing to be part of.
No, you're right, actually. And on the last point, you know, we've got in the minis and youth, you know, I mean, so many different nationalities in there. It's unbelievable. And they all have that sort of affinity for that sort of magic at ODP, really. So once tasted, it never leaves you, does it, really?
Absolutely. It's that whole thing about it's a Welsh club with a Welsh flavour that can be enjoyed by many. A bit like some of those Welsh cakes we keep dishing out.
look, Danny, I hope you have a nice Christmas and a safe one. And thank you for everything you've done for the club this year and all your time with the club. But look, stay safe and we look forward to a better 21 than 20. And Dolly Clowen.
Thanks to you, Gar, as well. And thanks for everything you've done. It's been absolutely an amazing team effort, our club. Thanks very much. Happy Christmas, everybody.
Cheers.
Welcome to Ruth Barton, Director of Women's and Girls Rugby at London Welsh. How are you, Ruth?
I'm good, thanks. You, Gareth, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, it's been a busy first half of the season for you, but probably not the first half of the season you would have wanted, really, is it? So what's been happening with women and girls rugby?
So, yep, you're right. It's not been the start we would have liked, but we're all very happy and grateful that we've been able to at least do some exercise and being together as a team, even though socially distanced at training. It's been great to see that we've still been getting numbers at training. People are still really keen to keep their skills up. So that's sort of how we managed the beginning of the season with not being able to play. We did a lot of skills, a lot of fitness. I think people's fitness has definitely improved from last season. And so worked on that a lot, and then obviously got involved in Ready for Rugby as soon as that came out, which was quite a big success. And that's both with women and girls. The girls' side have been able to train as well, and we've been again following all of the COVID guidelines to make sure that they're able to come along. And we've been really pleased to see new girls coming and joining in this time when we're not even able to do all of the rugby. It's been fantastic to see additional people coming along.
It's amazing because, you know, every Sunday I walk past there, there seems to be more and more girls here. I think you've got 30 names on your register or something, and about 20 regularly turning up now, and it's just doubled year on year, hasn't it, in the girls section?
Yeah, absolutely. To be where we are now from the start of it last year when Coops first set it up, and we were waiting for that first session and wondering whether we were going to get even two people turn up, and to now be, as you said, we had 20 there last Sunday training, and we've got 30 on the books at under 13s and under 15s level. So it's not just the one team now, we've got the two. People are bringing their friends, people have come from other clubs because they've heard about how good the rugby is at London Welsh, and it's been fantastic to see that growing.
So you're getting new players at the girls' level, but you also had some new sort of new players at women's as well. It's been really good, really, you think about when you've got no matches really to play and you're still recruiting new players to the women's squad.
Yeah, it's fantastic. We've had quite a few new players again this year, and even though we were supposed to be losing some players this season because of various travel and going to university, but COVID has had its silver linings, and that's meant that some of our players haven't been able to go off on their travels or have been back from university. The likes of Jemima has still been around being able to participate, which is fantastic. And some new younger girls coming through. And that's great to see. We've got people like Laurel and Seren who have joined, who are both really getting stuck into their rugby. And that's what we need, the youth coming through, so that those ageing players amongst us can step back a bit in the future.
You always need a bit of experience in a team, Ruth, I can tell you that now. So obviously we're coming up to Christmas now. What does Christmas usually mean for you, and how will you be spending it this year?
So Christmas for me, I've always been a big fan of Christmas. I'm a bit of a big kid when it comes to Christmas. As soon as we hit sort of mid-December, the Christmas jumpers come out and I start wearing them for the rest of the time. But it's very much a family affair for me. I come from a small family, but we're a close family. And so it's very much about meeting up with them. And I'm very, very pleased that I can still go to Wales, having not been home for quite some time because of the COVID restrictions. I am actually going to be going back to my sister's house and spending Christmas with my family as I always would, which is fantastic. And I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm glad to hear that you're going back to Wales. Be lovely. So in the new year, what are the plans for the women then? Because I'm sure there's different competitions coming up, hopefully, and hopefully some game time.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been playing in a Ready for Rugby league and 100% win rate at the moment in that, which has been fantastic. And the women are actually now entered into a 15-a-side league, which starts on the 24th of January. COVID dependent, obviously, providing we're still able to go ahead with that. And we're just waiting for those fixtures to come out, which come out on the 22nd of December. It's a fairly local league, so they're keeping things relatively local for us. And it's good, you know, there's the rules have been adapted, the laws have been adapted so that there's not too much contact, but there will be contact, which I know a lot of the women are very excited about. And the training sessions have been increasing in intensity, and the 15 minutes of contact we're allowed to do have been brutal. So they're really getting on with that. And so we'll be playing that from the 24th, and we've got the teams in our league are Barnes, Chesham, Reading and Roslyn Park, so it'll be a good quite a close league, but it'd be great for the teams to get back out there and be looking forward to playing. And training has been ongoing. The girls are keeping their fitness up, and we're getting everybody ready for that start. And then from the girls, the under 13s and under 15s perspective, we'll be carrying on with some training with them in the new year. And they're also going to be playing some matches against some local teams. We've been asked to play a couple of teams locally. And so we're booking in dates for those as well to give them some more game time going forward. And I know they're all really excited about playing a game because they're getting a little bit bored of playing against each other now, I think.
No, it'd be good to see that on both fronts, really, to see women playing back on a Sunday afternoon and the girls to play some against local teams. So now we'll look forward to seeing that. So do you have any message to our supporters from the women's camp at all?
Yes. Firstly, a huge thank you to all of the supporters club who have been so great to the women's team, and they've always been supporting us and trying to come to our games when we've had them. Always getting contact from the messages from the team, wishing us well, and asking how we're getting on and how we all are. We've had members of the supporters club contacting a lot of our individual players who were key workers to check in on them and see how they're doing. So from the women's team, it's just a huge thank you for the ongoing support from our supporters club. We really value their support, and it's great seeing them. We hope to see them again very soon and wish them all a very, very happy Christmas and a healthy new year.
Great stuff, Ruth. Look, and hope you have a great Christmas in Wales. Enjoy yourself. Come back fit and healthy and raring to go in 21. Have a great Christmas. Nadoli Clawen.
Nadoli Clawen, Gareth. Diolch yn fawr.
No problem. In five.
And next up, we have a Christmas classic with Alid Jones and Walking in the Air.
Welcome to the pod, Director of Rugby, Kai Griffiths. How are you, Kai?
Yeah, not too bad, Gar. Not too bad at all. How are you? Keeping all right?
I'm quite well, Kai. Thank you. Not looking as well as you are at the moment, though, eh? Looking good.
Oh. Am I? Always now. But thank you. Yeah, I'm good.
No worries. So how are you and how have the squad been over the last couple of months?
Challenging. Extremely challenging for the players, just because of the stop start of it, with the league getting pushed from November to January. And then it basically announced that they were going to can the season, and then going into lockdown in November itself. It's been tough. It's been pretty tough, but I think the game itself, across England is sort of we're all in the same pot, aren't we? So that's the thing. It's a tough time here.
Yes, it's challenging for lots of people. But we've had lots of new players turn up at the club across the summer. Are they still engaged in what we're doing and in the project? Yeah.
Yeah, the players that have joined us, they've been fantastic. But the players that have been here for a couple of years as well, they've really stepped up and driven a lot of standards within the team and within the players that's been here for quite a while. So I've been delighted. For we had a really good period of time between August and September where I thought the players really came together and we really grew by quite a bit percent, and I was really happy with it. And then it was obviously went into October. We're in a good place, and then I think the November shutdown, like with any team, I think it sort of there wasn't enough wind in the sail, if you know what I mean. So but we regrouped in December. We had five sessions. And the boys are going to have a nice break now, going into Christmas, and then just regroup for January.
The squad are in good shape then, they're fit and healthy, yeah?
Yeah, they're in a good place. Boys have been fantastic. They've been training in that November. Boys have been going on runs and stuff, and just keeping the boys ticking over. But I think the most important thing now is this 2 to 3 week period that they'll have off. So don't go too nuts on the Baileys and red wine over the Christmas period. It's just try and get a session in and trying to keep himself ticking over, because if we look at it, it's only 5 to 7 sessions we'll have with them before they go into their first game. So, I hope the boys are looking after themselves, but also enjoying the time as well with their families.
You're talking about matches now. So what's in store for the first 15 in the Druids post-Christmas then, in terms of games? What league, what format, et cetera, et cetera?
It keeps on changing from every 2 weeks. So what they did was they looked at a cluster league together, which was the closest teams around the area, and sort of brought them together. And that's changed 2 times. And now we're on our final draft, but that will be all confirmed on the 22nd of December. And also our pre-season games as well. So we're in talks with a couple of teams for a potential game on the 15th, 16th or 17th that weekend, potentially playing 2 games, potentially playing 3 games, maybe one on Friday, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. So we're just looking at what different options really, because we know and understand that our squad is a big number squad, looking at 60, 80 players, and how can we put them in our shop window to see who's actually done the hard work in pre-season going into those games to see who's actually performing. You know? So we're looking at different combinations. We haven't confirmed anything yet, but we are talking to about 4 or 5 different teams.
I suppose you could see this season as an opportunity for you, as Director of Rugby, to look at all the new players and really hit the ground running for the following season when the league really matters, isn't it? That's a huge opportunity that you'll have now, because not every club will have gained 25, 30 players. So that becomes challenging to know what your best 15 is going to be. Whilst I appreciate the adapted laws are different, you know, in the second half of this season than they'll be in the first half of next season. So that's the challenging thing for the players to understand now, is playing to those adapted laws in the pre-season friendlies as well, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's a massive learning curve even for us as coaches as well. To the game looks, it's still the rugby, but it slightly looks a bit different. And there's going to be a massive adjustment. Especially, we didn't really touch on it in December regarding the law changes, but we'll be working. We'll have a referees in at the start of January, talking through what they see, and then we'll be adapting our training to go into those preseason games. But yeah, it's a massive the big difference in the game itself. But it's just good that they're able to get the game up and running at some capacity. You mean? And I think that's the most important thing. I think a lot of people are giving stick to the RFU, but I think they've been fantastic regarding the communication piece on it. the webinars that's been coming out all the time. Really, my hat goes out to them. They're just trying to do the best they can out of bad situations. So yeah, big adaption, a lot more running. So again, hope the boys are ticking it over Christmas.
Just for our listeners' benefit, do you want to give an idea what those adapted laws are at all?
Still looking into it myself. Nah. So what it looks or what it is no scrums. So any knock on, that'll be a free kick. No mauling. That's the big one. No mauling, no scrums. Player can't be held up in the tackle, so the tackler must release him for him to go to ground. There's no latching, so the second player that latches on the attacking player, he cannot latch anymore. And you're a ref, you go. Anything? Did I miss anything?
Spot on, Kai. Spot on. So as coaches and players have to adapt, referees have to adapt as well. And I think tomorrow is the first games. There's about three or four games locally going ahead under adapted laws. And I'm going to go watch one so I can learn. We've had webinars as well from the RFU and our society so we can learn. I think so. We'll all learn together. We'll all make mistakes together. But at least we're all out there running around, which is the main thing really, isn't it?
Yes, 100%. And I'm glad they've had to look at it. Do you know what I mean? I know it's not perfect for us because you've got props there that their job is to scrummage and maul. But again, like I think I've highlighted it about a couple of weeks ago, I really do hope that other coaches, director of rugby, really protect the type the front five on this one, because you can easily not protect them and not be sort of true to the value of the game itself. You know, it's a game for all. So select your props, select your second rows, don't put five flankers in there.
Well, that'd be very short-sighted, wouldn't it? Because those props won't be there next season then, will they? Do you know what I mean?
No,
yeah, that'd be short-sighted. So obviously it's coming up to Christmas, Kai. How would you normally spend Christmas, and are you doing anything differently this year?
Nothing changes. Nothing changes this year. Mum comes over. I cook a really good Christmas dinner. About 4,000 pigs in blankets. I'll be enjoying Greg's wine from the London Welsh Wine Box Club. No, nothing really changes for us. I think I've moved now to Kew. That's the only change for me today. So it's just time to get my mum over and family together and the dogs and just stay warm and watch some Christmas films.
Maybe a little jog around Old Deer Park on Christmas Day to, you know, just for good, you know, for your fitness really, eh? Before those pigs in blanket.
If it rains, no.
Got to protect the hair. Look, Kai, look, do you have a message for our supporters over this Christmas and New Year period?
Yeah. For myself, it's stay safe more than anything. But enjoy each other's, try and be as safe as you can, but enjoy each other's company. Do you know what I mean? It's been a crazy year. And it's been dark sometimes, but I think Christmas Day and getting the family together, it's sort of a light, it's quite a light day. So yeah. And we'll get there, guys. We'll get there. Hopefully mid-January we'll have a game. So we'll all be back together. And let's try and hit 1,000 home supporters for each home game, if we can, under guidance. Yeah.
And all socially distanced around the pitch, hopefully, isn't it? But look, Kai, have a lovely Christmas in Kew with your family, okay? Thank you for everything you're doing for our club. And the Dolly Llawen a Blwyddyn Newydd A.
Dolly Llawen a Blwyddyn Newydd A. Diolch yn fawr, Gareth.
Diolch.
And here is one of my favourite songs, O Deach Fyddloniaid.
Welcome to the pod, Rhiannon Williams, Chair of London Welsh Supporters Club. How are you?
I'm very well, Gareth. How are you?
Not too bad, considering. So how have you been the last couple of months?
Same old, same old. I know I'm very fortunate that, you know, for my work continues. Nobody's been furloughed, nobody's had reduced hours, so my kitchen table remains to be my desk and probably will for a couple of months into the new year. I just cracking on and making sure I do my daily constitutional walks along the river when we're allowed out and about and etc. And whenever I can, I've been at Old Deer Park to have a walk around the ground, or on a Sunday, badger the lovely parents of the minis and all the youth teams.
No, I've seen you there on quite a regular basis now with a couple of other supporters groups. So I suppose this is the only London Welsh action you've been able to see, I suppose, over the first half of the season. So when we last spoke, we were talking about trying to encourage the minis parents to join and become members of the supporters group. Have you been successful in convincing some of them the benefits of it?
I think the last count, we had 23 that signed up. And to be honest, I'm just making an absolute nuisance of myself. I can see people sort of go, oh, here she comes yet again. Our youngest joiner is young Jack, who I understand is 7. So that's delightful. I can't quite say who the oldest is, but the gentleman is approaching 80. Everybody's been lovely, even though I have been making a complete nuisance of myself.
Well, that's great. It's great to get the membership rising, and that's a key thing, really, and people are understanding the benefits of what the supporters club bring to the overall club.
And I'm overwhelmed at the energy and enthusiasm that all of the children have got, and then the teenagers and the girls. I mean, the girls keep coming back through thick and thin, whatever the weather is. Paula, Ruth, you know, they've always got a good session going. It's just amazing.
It's actually quite amusing because some of the players have been coming to coach the girls and also to coach the youth players, and they can't understand, comprehend the amount of people playing rugby on a Sunday morning at Old Deer Park. And it's such a nice thing to see all those people, you know, running around, getting fresh air and being part of our community club, isn't it?
It's absolutely fantastic. And I've always said, I mean, in previous years when I've popped by on the odd Sunday, if somebody like S4C were to send the cameras down, they'd realise just how much grassroots level rugby is being played at all levels. You know, we've got the Welsh element, we've got the London element, and it is just utterly fantastic. And if you plugged those kids into the national grid, we'd have enough energy to be self-sufficient in this country for years and years and years. Their enthusiasm is amazing.
No, it's definitely a good vibe. So talking about good vibes, what's been happening in the supporters club? How have you been looking out for each other over the last few months?
To be honest, it's been sort of a mirror image of the club and the management of the club, in that we went out and to promote what I would call a cascade messaging system. It's something the firm I work for in the city certainly does. If you need to get a message out there, you have certain people that you contact. And we've just been encouraging to do that. And you know, I know some people who are on the margins, they live on their own, they live actually quite a distance from the rest of us. So we've been, you know, sending silly jokes on WhatsApp, or we've been calling, just to put a smile on people's face and say, look, we're here for you. We're always here for you. If you ever want to chat, you can be about whatever subject, we're just here for you. And just making sure that people know that this lovely, wide London Welsh family is here for everybody.
That's lovely to hear, really lovely to hear. So you must be making plans now to catch up for the second half of the season, now that we've announced there'll be some fixtures starting sort of mid to late January. So what are the supporters club going to be doing?
Well, if we are able to attend, as in terms of supporters, fans, then obviously we will try and have a table outside and promote ourselves and get membership continuing to rise. I have certainly got lots of merchandise I can offload. And I think, if I'm reading this correctly, for the away fixtures, I think if any coaches are to be run, they will solely be for the players, rather than whereas in the past we've had players and supporters on the same coach. I think that's probably the safest way to do it. And if I'm reading the sort of regulations and small print, that's how I perceive it to be. So for away games, we would be looking to run coaches. Obviously, I think it's today 50 days till the Six Nations. So again, if supporters and fans are able to go, then we would look, hopefully, to have something at City Hall and make sure people can have a spot to watch the game if they aren't actually going to the game itself. But just again, you know, bolster our image and position with the fans and in their mindset.
Yeah, I think Six Nations was probably a bit ambitious, but I think all the fixtures we got from London Welsh are quite quite local. I think so, like Hammersmith and Belsize Park and that. So yeah, so again, I think if we can get some of our supporters there and it's allowed and we can socially distance and just watch a game, it'd be great. But look, it's great. We're getting close to Christmas now. I'm just wondering, I've asked all the other guests what they're doing for Christmas, and Rhiannon wants to know if you're going back to South Wales or spending on the barge in Brentford.
Well, yes, I would say up until about 2 weeks ago, my brother and I were probably going to make separate journeys and go down to see my parents. But I basically made the decision last weekend. They're both in their mid-70s. Case numbers are rising in London. They're certainly rising in South Wales. So we'll have a belated Christmas roast turkey dinner day sometime late February, March. And I'm staying put. Santa doesn't quite have the same appeal to me at my age. I'm not six, but I'm quite happy to stay in London.
Yeah, fair enough. Look, you've done a great job on your first sort of 6 to 8 months of being the chairperson, but hopefully you'll get to be one at a game shortly in January.
Fingers and toes crossed.
Yeah, no, look after yourself over Christmas. Dolly Llawen, our blwyddyn newydd fawr.
And to you. Like I said, just a big virtual hug and squeeze to all the supporters, fans and players and management of this lovely, lovely London Welsh family. I wish you a very joyful festive break, and here's to a much brighter 2021.